I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, JP. I'll be in Richmond on Saturday night for AWOD's Football Fest, kicking off 6 o'clock River City Roll in Scott's Edition. So come on out. Should be a good time.
You know what you should do? You should just make it an evening. You should get a hotel. You should have Jess come out there.
Thought about it.
Yeah, just get hammered.
Just have,
hotel sex.
I got soccer on Sunday morning early.
That's
like
all right.
Three scrimmages.
Get up at 6, drive back, you'd be there.
Nah, it's too hard.
Yeah, he ain't doing that.
Stay at a hotel in Richmond, then I'm not gonna want to get up at 6 a.m. to leave.
I did that.
Actually, I probably have to get up at like 4:30 a.m.
I did that every weekend. I would leave New York because it's a 5-hour trip, where I was, upstate New York or whatever you call it, and it would take 5.5 hours. But I didn't want to be in my car like all day. I wanted to knock it out early, so I'd leave at like 5 a.m.
I'm more of a late night person anyway.
Yeah.
So like I don't have a problem with that. Like my buddy Mark, who lives in Richmond, you might remember Mark Clark. His wife Renee used to work here.
Is she still in the business or no?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we'll probably get together for a beer, Richmond John, hang out with him a little bit. But then maybe 10 o'clock I'll bolt, get home by 12, which will be fine. 12:30. If I get home by 12:30, that's a W.
Yeah. Last thing
Jason hates that.
Last thing he's going to do is get hammered the night before.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
it would be a nice, you make an evening of it.
No, yeah. I agree with you. Look, I'm not opposed to hotel sex, EB. There's something about the hotel.
Every couple
that is
understands or something. It's just different.
Yes.
Change.
But I'm more likely to, because actually I have my anniversary coming up.
Ooh,
I'm more likely
hotel sex, even better.
I'm more likely to set up something at MGM National Harbor and go to like Voltaggio.
I like that.
Have my son watch Isabella just before he goes to college. Got to get a couple babysitting sessions in before that.
Right.
Because my anniversary and my wife's birthday are separated by like a week. So I got to do something for at least one of those.
So real quick, I guess we're supposed to hit the skins. Are we going to hit the skins?
Let's hit the skins.
This will be my hit the skins. We were talking about, obviously, the Terry situation, and JP was going through the ESPN stats of all the receivers after 31, like Hall of Famers that just really do drop off.
They threw in Andre Johnson, too. I didn't mention him. So it was Julio Jones, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, and Andre Johnson.
Well, I actually have Andre Johnson in here to for a couple years did pretty well.
Hmm.
So actually, in his 31 year, he had 103 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns.
That's
in his 32nd year, even with two teams, forgive me, I'm reading Devontae, but I have Andre in here. Forgive me, I'm reading Devontae. No, in his 31 year, he had 112 catches for 1,600 yards. He had, I'm going to make sure I'm talking about it, Andre Johnson, his 32nd year, 109 catches for 1,400 yards. And in his 33rd year, he had 85 catches.
Mm.
So that's one example. Now, Devontae Adams, as Jason mentioned, in his 31 year, he had 103 catches, 1,100 yards. In his 32 year, he had 85 catches for 1,000 yards. Steve Smith Jr. Now, these are outliers, admittedly. Yep. But if they're going to give you guys that don't do it, I would just say, I think that's the argument you have to make. My guy's more built like these guys.
You're being fair and balanced.
Yeah, I'm going to just try to give you the counter to it. So Steve Smith, Steve Smith Sr. might be a nicer comp because they're a little smaller guys, right? They're relative to NFL receivers. So Steve Smith Sr. in his 31 year, okay, he actually was injured. Okay, so only had 46 catches. But in his 32nd year, he had 79 catches for almost 1,400 yards. In his 33rd year, so he's 33 years old, he had 73 catches for 1,100 yards. In his 34th year, looks like he, down year for him, 64 catches. When he was 35 years old, his first year in Baltimore, 79 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So very productive late into his 30s. I could go on. Now, these guys are Hall of Famers, yeah. Admittedly.
Best okay? of the best.
But I'm brought up Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. You guys remember him. In his 31st year, 63 catches down year for him. He was hurt. Uh-huh. In his 32nd year, 109 catches. In his 33rd year, 107 catches. In his 34th year, 109 catches.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still had other years, 69, 75. He's 36 years old. He had 75 catches.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it drops off. They don't go for 15 yards per catch anymore. But they're still productive.
And then that's one what more. Kime points to here.
Well, you got
the yardage. Kime points to the yardage. He didn't go through the catches.
Yeah.
When he went through Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, and Andre Johnson, he went to yardage. Andre Johnson, for example, went from 79.1 pre-31 to 63.8. So that was kind of a smaller drop-off. Julio Jones went from 96.2 to 39.5. Before 31, 96.2. After 31, 39.5.
Listen, again, you can make all there's, statistics work for you.
There's always going to be guys that hit that age that don't put up numbers. Always.
Right.
And but I'm sure quarterback play has something to do with it, too.
Of course. But let me just give you two more. And again,
you got to give the best of the best.
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison, very productive late in his career. 94 catches, 86 catches in his 32nd year, 82 catches in his 33rd year, 95 catches in his 34th year.
And give me the yards.
Okay. 31, 1,272 yards.
All right, give me his yards when he's 28.
1,400.
So a little drop-off.
A little bit. I mean, honestly, the yards per reception is kind of what you're looking at, I think, mm-hmm. also. So his... In his 28th year, 13.9. In his 31st year, 13.5. Actually, in his 2000, in his 33rd year, he had 14. In his 34th year, 14.4. He actually had his second best yards per reception in his 34th year.
Buddy Baker's writing this down, EB.
So if I'm Buddy Baker, yeah. I might actually be better than Buddy Baker.
I think most people probably are.
I would just throw these back at you and say, listen, yeah. Those are fair, and mine are, you know, admittedly, there's some outliers too, but I think my guy's an outlier.
Can I give the best of the best?
Yes.
Jerry Rice?
When Jerry Rice was 31.
He was my next one.
The numbers, people who never saw Jerry Rice play, I'm sure most people saw him play at least in his mm-hmm. last half of his career. When he was 31, he had 98 catches for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. All right. When he was 34, he had 108 catches and 8 touchdowns. When he was 38, he had 75 catches and 7 touchdowns. When he was 40, hello.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for?
Pay attention.
Is he even the Raiders?
Raiders.
Yeah.
When he was 40, he had 92 catches, 7 touchdowns, averaged 13 yards a carry, 1,200 yards.
No, he was
when he
pro.
Was 41,
yeah.
He had 63 catches for almost 900 yards. That guy was a super freak. Yeah. You'll never see that again the rest of time. A guy who's going to be 40, 41, 42, putting up, you know, pretty good number two receiver numbers.
Well, how old is Mike Evans right now? We saw
30,
Mike Evans.
33,
you know,
maybe?
Mentioned your boy Marshawn Lattimore earlier. Mike Evans torched him in that playoff game, and he's been doing it year after year. Now, they kind of fed him at the end of the year so he could get to over 1,000 yards again.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just point to somebody who's playing right now.
Maybe he's 30.
I'm younger than Mike Evans.
Actually, he's only 31.
Yeah, but Terry's a couple years younger.
But you need to see Mike Evans continue to put up some decent numbers to make the argument we're making now. Which is that there are guys. It's not a death sentence. It's not a rule,
right?
100% that when you hit 31, you bottom out. There are guys that are exceptions. And if you're Buddy Baker and you're Terry McLaurin, that's the argument you're making, that my guy's different. He's mm-hmm. built different. He had less wear and tear on him in college because he didn't play as much until later in his career. He's super dedicated to his craft. He has the traits. He may not be a Hall of Famer, but he has the traits that Hall of Famers have, right? Work ethic and those kinds of things. and the way he takes care of his body. I mean, you just got to make those arguments. And then you say, by the way, have you seen the inter-squad scrimmage or whatever the hell? Control practice against the Patriots? Did you watch, yesterday the right. Burgundy and Gold?
Do you want KJ Osborne out there?
Yeah, yeah.
You want Chris Moore out there?
Let's get something done. So,
or do you want a dog out there? That's what he'd say.
You know, Grant and everybody there with the media that was capturing the images and there's video some people took, 16 seconds of mm-hmm. video, and you know the lip readers we talked about were going through it. When Terry's, and I told you, when I look at that, I see a little bit of a frosty exchange. I mean, it wasn't bad. Well, they weren't mean. They were being cordial, obviously.
I agree with you.
But it was a little frostier than, say, when he's palling around with Jaden or even DQ or the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's good. Having interaction is good. Having talking face-to-face is good, even though really the negotiation should be with the agent.
It's better than just avoiding each other.
Yes.
For 2 hours.
And maybe this was the break. This is the icebreaker, right? So maybe something could get done here soon. When he says, but all the lip readers, the AI lip readers, the human lip readers, they all agree on one thing he said, which is, I just want to play ball. Can you, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, I like that. Can you interpret that as him saying, I just want to play ball either for you or somebody? That's what I went that next step when I was thinking about it. I just want to play ball.
I didn't think of it that way.
I thought of that later.
I just don't want to know play that ball. Terry McLaurin's thinking that. I think he's on the field with his teammates, and mm-hmm. I think he means I want to play ball with these guys.
Yeah.
Not I want to play ball. Not yeah. I want to play ball
That's
anywhere.
What I thought initially.
Like a month from now, if he's still bitter.
Right.
Then he might want to play ball elsewhere, but I think he wants to play for the Commanders, no doubt.
I agree with that, too. But if you're taking a sort of a contractual stance mm-hmm. and you're with your opponent here on the other side of the negotiating table, you might say, look, dude, at the end of the day, I just want to play ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, either for you or somebody.
Yeah.
I
guarantee you Adam Peters has told Buddy Baker, we ain't trading him.
I bet you. But what if he gets an offer that they can't refuse?
No, they're not going to get that.
They might, but their offer they can't refuse might be a way lower threshold than what you and I
would
think.
I would be very surprised.
Might be a much lower threshold.
There may be a breaking point. I don't think they're even close to the breaking point where Terry would legitimately want out.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to when he's at Eastern Motors and he's talking for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, he's talked a lot about his history here in Washington and going through all the losses. And then you finally get there with a great quarterback. I think it would be very tough to leave that situation. You've been through all of that, and now you finally get the rewards of having a good quarterback and winning games and making it all the way to the NFC Championship. I don't see you abandoning ship at that point.
But I'm telling you, I've heard otherwise that he has, I can't confirm it, but I've heard otherwise that he has thought
other
of
teams.
Other teams that he could play for.
Okay.
And thought
but,
of other quarterbacks
but that, could be
that he would like to play for.
That could be on a year down the road.
Or it could be like
he might realize
it's one of those things that if break glass, this is what I got to do,
yes.
right? Whatever the cliche is.
Right. Hey, like I said, there's a breaking point. I don't think he's at the breaking point.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. He's at the break. If the Chargers are going to pay him $32 million today, he's at that breaking point. And if they would trade for him, he doesn't care. He wants to play. Who's going to pay him the money?
So you agree
with
me?
What do you mean, like, deep down in his heart, he wants to play? He wants to play for whoever is going to pay him and take care of him with guaranteed money for a long time.
Right, so you agree with my interpretation?
I don't think he cares. I mean, it would be nice to play for the Commanders and Jaden and have a shot to compete, but he can do that on another team.
So you agree with my interpretation when he says,
I've agreed
play
this
ball?
Entire time that Terry wants to get paid the most, play for whoever's going to pay him the most amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he cares what color the uniforms are.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore.
Well, that may be true, but he's not playing for the Chargers this year. Not unless they trade him in October. They're not trading him in August
well, know,
to
I'm
the Chargers.
I'm just saying what JP said. In his heart, he wants to play for.
Yeah,
the
I mean, look, he's got a
down,
home here.
He doesn't want to leave. I think he wants to. He would leave today
for the crazy amount of money.
Depends.
I don't agree.
I just don't think there's a team out there that's going to pay him an outlandish number. Because I believe that most teams probably view it the same way.
And I think he has a high preference to stay here. Like you're making it seem drab, like all things being equal, he doesn't care and he'll bounce to Sandy.
But that's a different
statement. Bounce to the LA Chargers or wherever. I think he has a big preference for staying here. His life is here. He's beloved here.
Yeah, but that's if all things are equal.
Yeah,
Draft's making
equal.
The argument they're not equal. So the question is, where is the difference? So if like the Commanders are willing to pay him 25, would you rather play here or go to the Raiders where they would actually pay him 30? I would rather go for the 30 at the Raiders because it's different. The difference is big enough.
All things equal, he'd want to be here, of course, but they're not. And he wants to play for whoever's going to pay him $5 million more.
By the way, I just want to play ball as such lip service. If he wants to play ball, he can tell Buddy to accept the contract that the Commanders put on the table.
Well, it's lip service, but he's just saying it's his way of saying to Adam, look, I just want to play ball. You work it out with Buddy.
Just keep me out of it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I know, but if Terry really just wanted to play ball, he could say, you know what, I like it here. I don't want to uproot my family. I want to play for this team. I like the regime. I don't think
he's saying that. I don't think he's saying I just want to play ball. I'll play for anything.
Whatever. No.
I think he's just saying get the money right. I just want to play ball. I'm tired of the negotiations. I'm tired
of
the BS. That's how I interpret it.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying, Valdez.
There's also the hard line I heard Barstool Nate on with B. Mitch and Finley yesterday, and he's at practice. He's under contract. So go play ball. Like Adam Peters could have said, and he said, I just want to play ball. Adam Peters could have said, so go play ball. You're under contract.
Well, that's what Valdez is saying.
Yeah.
You're agreeing with what Matt's saying.
No. Well, not necessarily, but also, you know, we're offering you an extension that we think is fair. Mm-hmm. And all of this negotiating is just, it's hard on you. It's hard on the team. Like, you can just accept the offer. Like,
yeah, but what if you in your heart of hearts think it's way below my market and you feel a responsibility to other receivers and you just have a professional pride in your way?
Well, then if you're just saying I just want to play ball as in, you know,
I don't care about the money,
then that's not truthful.
Okay, but I don't think when he just says, I didn't interpret it as I don't care about the money, I just want to play ball for anything. I think he's just saying, I want to play ball, you guys work it out. And I'll play for you or anybody. I just want to play. That's how I interpret it. But again, it's all up for interpretation.
It's gone far beyond anybody expected here in this room. I didn't expect it to go beyond. I mean, we're closing in on the second preseason game. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll talk to Grant Paulson, our colleague, coming up at 8 o'clock about it. He was at the scrimmage yesterday, so we'll get his take on that. Terry McLaurin and more coming up at 8 o'clock.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EARPOD1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Bad beat for me and Jason. We ordered hotcakes and sausage from McDonald's.
Yes, we did.
And some people will do this, but I tried a bite and it's horrible. They didn't give us any syrup.
Mm-hmm. Or butter, right?
Dude, he had a great idea. Mar had honey. I think honey would work.
I just
I think honey would work.
I'm not a huge honey guy. Like, I'm
how do you not
look,
like
it'll
honey?
Be better
it's
than
it's very similar to I feel like it's similar to
it's a cousin of maple syrup.
Yeah.
They forgot my biscuit. I got a McChicken biscuit and they just gave me a plain McChicken, like just the patty.
They just botched it.
That's weird.
Clueless people over there. Next time I go to Harris Teeter, I'm going to get a small bottle of syrup, and I'm going to hide it somewhere in the studio.
That's not a bad idea. You know, remember we talked about bees? We had the beekeeper that called in. That was like, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yes.
Do you guys vaguely remember that?
Yes,
and vaguely. It was kind of intriguing, and he talked about, you know, all the honey and how the honey you get at the store is trash.
Mm-hmm.
There might be something to it, man, because that dude gave us some honey. I actually sent us some honey, and it's good. It was a little bit different for sure. And then there's another listener are you considered a beekeeper if you make honey? Like, I guess he's considered an amateur beekeeper because he makes his own friggin' honey. And he reached out to a mutual friend. Somehow our name came up in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And she, I think she was at their house or something. She said, oh, you're listening to the Sports Junkies. I know those guys or whatever. You know, and they're like, yeah. And the guy said, I hear EB loves honey or something. I don't know. It's somehow it morphed into EB loves honey. But I use honey for certain things. I mean, I'm a human. Yeah. We all use honey. Right. So anyway, they made a point of giving me their honey. It's called like pure honey, whatever. It's just homemade. Dude.
Good.
It's incredible.
Really?
It's totally different than the garbage you buy at Safeway for $4. You just get like normal. I don't know. I feel
What's like the I'm difference a normal in taste? Is it sweeter?
But first of all, when you look at it, it's like much clearer.
Yeah.
There's less garbage in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're like me. I'm a normal shopper, I think, when I go to a Safeway. If I need honey, my wife says, hey, can you pick up some honey? I'm just going to go to the Clover honey or whatever that's $5 and with the little bee or whatever on it, and I just pick it up.
I don't think honey's part of my family's repertoire, really.
We have it in the house for certain things. The pure honey I had yesterday, literally, you could dip your finger in there and just lick your finger and just have it over and over.
What'd you put it on?
My finger. Oh. I make a drink that has like, you know, healthy stuff like turmeric and cayenne pepper and all this stuff, and you add a little honey to it to make it palatable, right? So it could go down.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I'm not some honey connoisseur, but actually might be now.
I could have sworn I saw syrup in the kitchen. Maybe not in the fridge, but in the cabinets.
Give it another look. See,
it might
otherwise,
be. It could be 40 years old.
Your little Heinz packets of honey.
Yeah. Or, you know, if I can't find it, I'll just eat the sausage patty.
Drab, are you a honey guy?
Love
honey.
You
know the difference? I didn't know there was a difference.
Well, I mean, raw honey is unfiltered, and it's got all the stuff, like the pollen in it probably still.
It's just so clear and so silly.
Really?
Because
I thought it was dark. I thought it was usually darker.
Maybe others. This particular
Heinz is dark.
This one I got was so clear, and it was so, like, I don't want to say thin, but it wasn't just, like, thick and gross. It was just silly.
Yeah, the stuff.
It was just silly.
In the bear mold. Yeah. That stuff's garbage.
When you compare it to others.
Yeah, you got to go to like a farmer's market.
And
get
you know
honey.
Who else told something very similar to that is EVO, extra virgin olive oil. I was, you know how my buddies up in Long Island, Vinny and Joe, they always talk about olive oil and if some fell off the truck, if I need any. They're big into olive oil. And I know some people, like, they collect olive oil. I'm like, what are you doing? You losers. I've now had good olive oil. It's totally different than the... I just would buy regular olive oil. That's all garbage. You know? You
gotta, tastes good to me.
But you got to have the good. Once you have the good, then you can say, oh, wow, there is a difference.
What are you using your honey for, Drab? It's not really part of my repertoire. I'm not opposed to honey. I just don't use it, really.
Some people put it on, like, toast.
I put it on what I eat a couple times a week. Peanut butter and honey sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people put... I used to, when I was a kid, I'd put it on my Wheaties. My mother wouldn't buy a sugared cereal. Yeah. So my cheat code was honey. I would just put honey on it.
Yeah, and you can use it as a sugar substitute in whatever, smoothies. Or,
right.
Yeah.
But it's still not great for you, right?
Not great, but it's better than...
Better than just raw sugar.
Yeah.
You know. But Mar's dying to chime in.
Dude, I couldn't agree more with the olive oil. I get my olive oil at the Italian store in Arlington. I mean, you got to pay to play. That stuff is crazy expensive. Mm. But we use it to, like, you know, season the black stones or if we're making steaks or whatever, like on the skillet. It is elite stuff compared to what you get at Harris Teeter.
It's totally different than the regular. Like, I normally just get regular. Who cares? I didn't want to pay $40, $50.
I'm sorry. I can't get past remembering what his steak tasted like.
So bad.
I was reaching, all right? That day I was, you know, different seasonings.
You tried too many.
I'd like a rematch.
No, I'm not. I'm like,
you're going to carry the crown
Jones
forever.
I'm done. I'm out.
What about a different food? What if we did, you know, chicken or something else?
It would taste like steak because I just put adobo on everything.
I just want a food rematch of some sort before the football season. I got to redeem myself, man. That was a bad representation of me.
I guess I'm willing to maybe do chicken.
Maybe
but
you
I,
just bring in your best, since it's football season, you bring your best, like, tailgate food. Your best food that you would have set up if you're watching a football game.
I feel like we'll lose to Valdez because he'll have whatever it is loaded with crab. Mm-hmm. It's going to be anything with crab on it.
I just feel like we'll lose to Valdez.
We got to think of something that we can make in the studio so then we can make a bit out of it, like we did last time with Instagram Live and make videos and stuff.
The thing with chicken is, it's such a brokey food. I eat chicken a lot, but I have little regard for chicken. I just think it's...
I eat it a lot, too.
I eat it a lot, but I'll never order it in a restaurant.
I don't know, I'm getting kind of bored with it.
Yeah, but you could make different types, like buffalo chicken, teriyaki chicken, chicken.
I know. I got all that stuff. I'm just telling you, I just have little regard for it.
Chicken tenderloins, man? Are you serious?
I eat it all the time. I throw it on my grill, put some adobo. My daughter likes it with the teriyaki sauce. I do it. I'm just telling you, I feel like it's a lowbrow. I just don't get size for it.
You think it's below you?
I'm a little bit above it.
Well, see, that's where you got the sides come into play. Because the sides really catapulted to the next level.
Right. What are your sides? What are your go-to sides?
Corn, asparagus. I mean, grilled asparagus is good, dude. I don't know.
I like asparagus. Dude, I love asparagus. Who doesn't love asparagus?
Guy's eating the most basic meals ever.
Broccoli.
I mean, wish people could have tasted his steak. This kid.
How bad was it?
Dude, this kid
was bad. Just had a million overcooked.
His idea,
he just threw everything on there.
His idea was, I'm going to get these guys. And he just grabbed every spice and every seasoning known to man and put them all on one thing.
Yeah. Also, this
it
is
was
where
literally
it,
disgusting.
This is where he screwed up is that steaks on the grill are amazing, right? In the first place. And he's putting the steak on a pan on the grill.
No. I brought a skillet. I brought a skillet.
Like what?
I think he was trying to sear it or something. Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah. So where I went wrong is I brought the skillet. And then we were on a time crunch because we had to go in for the next segment because it was the end of the show to like review the steaks.
Yeah.
And I didn't let the skillet get hot enough on the grill. You're supposed to let it get pretty like piping hot.
Right.
And
we would have let you. I don't want you to be that as an excuse.
No, but he has a grill.
I know.
The skillet's unnecessary.
No excuses. Hand up. I didn't show up on the day. But that's why I want a rematch.
Do people do what he's trying to do where they'll do it in their skillet and then they put it on the grill just to get the marks? Don't people sometimes do that?
No, it's kind of like a reverse sear situation where you can put it in the oven, cook it in the oven, and then put it on the skillet to get the crust. Or color on the outside of the steak.
Uh-huh. Well, his steak literally was nasty.
Because it was just overcooked.
Hey, I didn't last.
Just too many spices.
Too many
spices.
It was gross.
Yeah.
It was actually like vomit inducing. The flavor. I don't know. What do you remember? What seasonings you used? He put so many. Did you put like Worcestershire? Put like weird stuff.
Honestly, I can't. It was the worst day possible because when the lights were the brightest that I tried to reinvent
you
the wheel.
You tried to step up.
I should have just done Montreal or Kinder's the blend or just something stick to the fundamentals.
Right.
I was like, no, I'm going to backdoor
this. But I
feel
like you put some liquidy stuff in there that was like, it made it nasty.
No, I don't really remember. I just remember it was a bad showing. And I also
did not. You know what I can tell? It haunts you.
It does.
Now, didn't
it
take,
does. Because I'm a good cook. I know I'm a good cook.
Hey, didn't he take, with the pan, didn't he put margarine in the pan instead of butter?
You put margarine? Well,
we were out of Irish butter at my house.
It wasn't worth it for you to go get the real McCoy.
He put margarine.
Well, I found that out in the morning. One of my roommates had used all the Irish butter, I guess, like the night before.
Oh, so you were panicking.
Yeah, so then I was kind of grasping like at 5 in the morning the day of.
Yeah.
It's... What can you say, man? I mean, it does haunt me, though.
Yeah, it does.
Every time
haunt
I click on your Twitter profile, I see Steak King. I'm just like, damn, that should be me.
Dude, I know. And most people don't understand that anymore because that was a bit, a couple years ago. That's how much pride I have in it.
You should be.
Of all the bits we've done on the show, that might be greater than being the MVP of the Divas game.
But if you're confident enough.
Yeah, two elite titles.
I mean, That should have an expiration date, that title on your Twitter, unless you, put it up for grabs again. That title, Steak King, should be up for,
Thank you. Oh, you mean up for...
It should be up for grabs. You can't just sit on that title for 2 years.
I told you, I'm sitting on. I'm retiring. Right. You got to know when to get out.
Well, you know what they say. To be the champ, you got to beat the champ. So if we do a steak competition, I want you in.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to lose my crown. I'm going to die champion. Because I know it's fleeting. I know I could get... You could catch me.
I just know I wouldn't come in last.
Was Cakes was worse than yours?
Cakes was terrible. I mean, his was, not, right out of the packaging.
It actually wasn't worse. Remember, Roger was a judge.
Was Cakes raw or something?
No. Cakes actually, if my personal taste was close to yours, Yours was better.
Thank you.
But Cakes got hoard because Roger gave him like really low grade.
Oh, he did.
I just think Roger threw it all off.
We did have an X factor.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember Roger? Every single grade he gave was higher than the last. He just went up exponentially with every steak he tried. He was like, well, this is pretty silly. And the next one, he was like, well, this is even sillier.
Right. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Grab, did you make one or you were just, I can't remember.
No, I know my place. It's not on the grill.
Really?
Yeah.
What would be your place as far as food prep? If you had
sandwiches.
Oh, you would be the king of sandwiches? You know, how come you didn't beat me in I am the peanut butter and jelly.
I didn't make one. I think I was a judge or, you know, I'm putting these things together, so it's not fair for me to.
But I will say, so I won the PBJ contest. I don't have a lot of pride in that one. I mean, why would you? Peanut butter and jelly. But I stole someone's idea here. I'd never done it before, and now I do it all the time. I toast my bread before I make a PBJ. If I'm in the mood. Mm-hmm. Somebody here toasted their bread. Was it you, Mar? Somebody toasted their bread, and I mocked them.
Might have been me.
And it was good. So now I toast my bread before I make a PBJ.
You never had toasted PB&J before?
Never. No. Never. Did you do it? Maybe you did it.
I didn't do it.
I think I did.
I mean, yeah, I hadn't toasted PB&Js a billion times.
No, I never had it. But here's the thing with toast. You got it. Like when you toast it, you got to eat. I want to eat it hot. I don't want that thing cold.
Of course.
So you probably toasted it, sat there for 20 minutes.
No,
and then served.
What I did is I did my own personal preference, which Carlos was the judge. My own personal preference is heavy on the jelly.
Oh, I'm heavy
on
jelly.
And I just said heavy jelly. I don't think he was keen on that.
No, I'm heavy on jelly too. I'm a heavy jelly guy. So hold on. You think you got sandwich? Is there a sandwich? You don't make it sophisticated. You just make a ham and cheese.
Oh, I'll make an Italian sandwich. I'll make
you can't make a Reuben.
A chopped cheese. Reuben.
He can't make a Reuben. Reuben's sophisticated.
No, that's not sophisticated.
Reuben is high end, dude.
He's making peanut butter and honey, he just told us.
You gotta have a Thousand Island or whatever they put in there.
or whatever. Mayonnaise and ketchup. That's real hard to make that.
I don't think you can make a Reuben. Okay. I'm not saying I could. I think it's over my pay grade.
Did we ever have a grilled cheese contest? That's one of your go-tos.
Let me tell you something.
Who doesn't like those?
Let me tell you something. My daughter, hands down, would win that. She makes elite world-class grilled cheese. She gets the right sourdough bread. She uses real butter, not margarine. And she uses
smashed down perfectly.
Munster cheese, which I hate Munster cheese on its own. Mm-hmm. It smells like duty. But it is, she makes literally a golden brown grilled cheese.
With Munster?
It's worth like $20.
Hey, have her come in.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she makes elite.
No, have her, like, literally have her come in tomorrow and make it for us for breakfast.
Well, I don't know if she can because she has volleyball now, but I'll talk to her about trying to find a time to come in. Okay? I'll talk to her.
It's all this hype. I feel like we need to try it.
I mean, I put a picture on my Twitter a couple weeks ago, and normally people just attack you and tell you how awful you are as a human being. Almost, almost. In fact, it might have been perfect. Great. People just raving about it.
I'm not sure I've ever had Munster cheese.
Munster cheese on its own smells like duty. I never liked it, but it is good in a grilled cheese.
All right, got to take a break if you want to chime in. 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Bishop is an American hero. He found syrup in the break room.
Nice.
I don't know how old it is. I'm not sure how it tastes. Syrup doesn't go bad, does it? I guess everything goes bad after time, but
you might not notice.
Tastes pretty good to me.
Does it?
I would have gone to honey. But
you can look right on the top.
There was a bunch of stuff.
I'll stick with Hungry Jack.
Yeah. So look on the top. What is the date? Can you read those?
I can't see that.
Too small a print. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This one says best used by
2022.
September 13th, 2020.
Oh, Jesus.
That's best used.
Yeah, I mean, they just
best
want,
used by 2020.
Yeah, I mean, might have a little.
What's that say? I can't read that. Can you read that? I can't read it.
This one says best by. Looks like January 17th, 2024.
Oh, all that's right. Better.
I'm all over that.
That one's only a year and a half old.
Yeah, I'm all over.
That's hilarious.
Use that.
I went with the brand. There was like the Teeter brand or Hungry Jack. I was like, let me go with the Hungry Jack.
Are you going to do?
Hey, we're desperate.
Are you going to do the Junkies Blitz here?
Yeah, let's do a little Junkies Blitz talk. Some NFL.
Do
NFL talk
story?
On the Fan. I do, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I assume the story you're talking about is James Cook.
Yes.
James Cook, the running back for the Buffalo Bills, who was holding in, has agreed to a 4-year, $48 million contract extension that includes $30 million guaranteed. That is the highest guarantee for a running back in the past 5 years.
All right. That's it. Sounds
so
like
is
a
it
win.
Similar to what Kyren Williams got from the Rams, maybe a little higher?
Well, I know this. The extension comes a day after Cook returned to Bills practice.
Yeah.
Following a 4-day hold in that included him missing the first preseason game. So,
right.
Does that give you more confidence that this Terry situation could be resolved similarly?
Like they always say, I think Andrew Brandt, I know he says it, but deadlines spurs deals, right? And so you are getting closer and closer. I think you still have, what, Hendrickson, who still hasn't signed, who's there.
Parsons, Hendrickson, Terry.
Yeah, those are the
Juwan
big
Jennings.
Ones. The one I want to know is, like, did he, sounds like he probably won something. Did his holdout net him anything? Or did he just end up caving and signing what they were offering him a month ago? That's the hang-up I have in my brain, is that it was reported that Ayuk did the whole hold in and ended up just signing what they were offering him before he even started. Like, he didn't even gain anything from it. But I think it's good. We've had a couple guys here sign. You know, it is a big gamble if Terry decides to just play on his current contract and not lock up some future guarantees. But, you know, I think it's a bigger gamble if he dares to not show up.
Did you see Jerry Jones's admission about trying to get publicity? He actually said, you know, like the Michael Parsons drama, for example, it's garnering all these headlines, and the Cowboys are the number one most valuable franchise on the planet, valued at over $10 billion. He said, if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at.
What do you mean by getting looked at? I'm not sure I'm following you.
The stories that sometimes... maybe he could sign somebody. I'm not saying he said this specifically, but he could sign somebody in advance. But essentially, if ESPN is talking about Micah Parsons and his contract over and over, it's free advertising.
Right.
There's a theory out there that basically Jerry and Micah are going to get their deal done. Like everything will get inked the day of or day before they play the Eagles, because that's the Eagles banner night.
He and said,
take
some shine away from
are
their
they
banner.
That petty that I mean, maybe they are.
He's 83, I believe. He said it's wonderful.
It's just a theory, but it makes sense.
He said it's wonderful to have the great athletes and players, but there's something more here. There's sizzle, there's emotion, and there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff, as far as keeping people's attention.
Huh.
ADs, EB. He values ADs, which turn into real Ds.
Everybody values ADs. I was stunned yesterday when Luke Thomas said one of his things is he wants to make sure
to come in studio.
In studio with the boys.
Yeah,
he made it sound like it was like the you know, basically the end of our careers. So he wanted to get in real quick before we're done.
That's not how I interpreted it. He's just a big time, you know,
he's
long time listener of the show.
We've had him on the show for
I
a million
like
times.
We've had him in studio over at the old station.
I think you're right.
Not. Yeah.
By the way, James Cook signed, he got that $30 million guaranteed.
Right.
Kyren Williams ended up getting a 3-year, $33 million deal, but only 23 is guaranteed.
Right.
So he got 7 more guaranteed.
Right. Jason got upset months ago when I compared B-Rob to Kyren Williams because their numbers were similar.
Right. I remember that. He was livid. He was bitter.
Your boy B-Rob.
Hey, B-Rob's a good dude. I got, you know, whatever.
Well, Kyren Williams had 14 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
B-Rob have 8?
That was just rushing. So, Kyren Williams in the last 2 years has 31 touchdowns.
It was the yards per carry.
You were looking yards per carry, but you got
yards
you
know, per carry.
We've all been talking about receivers after age 31 or whatever. The sort of the historical benchmark that people have been talking about for decades is running backs hitting age 30. Those that really are drop off too, other than like the Emmitt Smiths of the world.
Sure. Look, I don't want to be in the business of defending Brian Robinson Jr. It's not a great business. However, I've brought this up a bunch of times. If you looked at the first half of the season last year, nobody was complaining about Brian Robinson. First half of the season, he was averaging 4.6 yards per carry.
Right.
6 touchdowns.
I know. I was hyping him up.
And then the second half, there was a precipitous drop-off. Now he had injuries.
Yeah. Could be it.
It happens.
Could be it. Look, if he's ever going to have a good year, this should be the year, right, with the improved offensive line. Assuming they get Terry and everything and they have all their weapons out there. If there was ever a year for him to pop off, I would think it would be this year.
Everybody wants to crown Bill, you know, the 7th round draft choice.
Yeah.
And like to the point that the guy didn't even average 3 yards per carry. People are like, oh, I loved what I saw. Like, okay.
I actually did see a few things that I liked, but who knows? Let's see what happens. They're not going to hand him the starting job in week 1.
No.
Nobody thinks that.
No. Not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple nice plays.
Nice runs where you saw, okay, I see he's got an aggressive style.
But he wasn't overwhelming where I'd say, oh, he's got to be your number 1.
Yep.
No.
All right, coming up next, we'll check in with our pal Grant Paulson. He was at the scrimmage yesterday between the Burgundy and Gold team. So we'll get his take on that, his take on McLaurin and more. Here on The Junk.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.